This is a special night because we have two special guests here with us from abroad. And so their presence kind of makes a like convention. Yeah, it doesn't take a lot for us to feel like we're at convention. That does not discredit them. But it does. We had lunch wrap today. And these two brothers who have been in the ministry for decades and have been very faithful in many different situations. So I think our message tonight has to do with this subject. But before we start, we want to just say that there is no reason for any of us to be here except Jesus Christ. It's his blood that has made us clean, that has justified us and made us children of the living God. What an honor. It is Christ, the living God, that has turned our lives around and delivered us. And we know him. Know God. This is an incredible thing to be able to say that we know God. This is Jeremiah 9:23. We do not boast in our wealth or our might, but in this, that you know me and understand me. What an honor that is. And these two brothers, Pastor Texier and the Greater Grace pastor of the church in Paris, France, and his story that I want to use a text tonight and talk a little bit about it. And then Pastor Mati, who lives in the Middle East and has also from early in life have found how real Jesus Christ is. I want to have you turn to Proverbs 25:19. In the beginning, just for a brief word, Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. What's a broken tooth like? What? It depends how it breaks, right? But if it breaks and the way that the pain it bothers you all the time, and you have confidence in an unfaithful man. The unfaithful man part reminds me of like this story about a woman sending her husband to the store, and she made a list of five things. You know the story? She wanted yogurt, bottle of aspirin, bananas, apples, and paper towels. So in the list, she had them listed. And so the man brought home one yogurt, two bottles of aspirin, three bananas, four apples, and five bundles of paper towels. Have any of you men ever gone to the store and you forgot what you went there for? Okay. Have any of you sent somebody on an errand and just they were unfaithful? They visited their cousin and didn't do what you asked them to do. This is like people like us. But not like these two guys, which I'm really drawing a lot of attention to them. And I want to use Genesis 24 for that. Turn to Genesis 24. Verse 2, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, just stop there for a second, the oldest servant in his house. You know, to be a servant, it's something that happens to you as a Christian. You become a servant of somebody else's house. Not your house, but somebody else's house. Abraham's house. This chapter parallels our lives in many ways, because you and I are servants of another house, God's house. And this servant has to go find a wife for Isaac. And that's a picture of how God has us in this world on a mission. We're here on a mission. There's something that our master wants. Not what I want or what you want. Not something I can easily forget to do, but something that burns in your heart or is clear to you in your mind. You know, something that you can't explain, but my master has a need and he's sending me. When I met Pastor Matti in Finland years ago, and he was a teenager, virtually, I don't know, he can tell the story, but already God had been working in his heart about the meaning of life and what's important and who is God. He was a believer. But then as he was listening to God and God was leading him, that amazing gift of being a servant happens to you and me. You start thinking, I want to be a servant. I want to see my master's house, my master's desire, my master's need. I feel that way. Now, you could be a car mechanic, a doctor, a teacher, a factory worker, a mother of five. It's the same. It's the same. You become a servant of God. And this servant is sent on a mission. It happened with Pastor Texier in France with Pastor DeMeo down in the south of France. And Pastor Texier heard, believed, it worked in his spirit, in his heart. We all know this because we have the same story, the same thing. It's hard to explain it to people, but it's awesome when you get connected to something bigger than you. You know, you listen to your master, and the master says, I need to send you away and to find a relative, a distant relative, a cousin, or somebody from our family to marry my son. And he's on a big mission. It's hundreds of miles away where he has to go. He has 10 camels, all packed up. He has one thing on his mind. How can I find a wife for my master's son? Doesn't it sound familiar? God has a son, and we are servants in this world to find what he needs, what he wants, right? What does God want? It's fun to be about our master's business. It's great to be in fellowship with God who has sent us. So some couple of years after Bible school had started and Pastor Mati was in it, he came to me and said that God had put it on his heart to go to that part of the Soviet Union where there are all these different kinds of people groups in Central Asia. This is like 1979. And communism was not failing. It was strong. The Soviet Union was solid, world power. We didn't know how this could work. But it happened. And he got a team of people, and they started to visit Moscow, St. Petersburg. They did many different things to reach people inside the Soviet Union. And this is the thing that I love about it. When you have a focus, when the Holy Spirit wants you to be like seeking or focused on my master's business, right? What does my master want? Then it seems in this story there was nothing that could stop that servant. And even when he met Rebecca and she brought him home, he said, I will not eat anything until this business is settled. I am focused on it. I love that focus. Maybe you might say, Pastor, my only focus is to go to bed tonight. Or my focus is, and fill in the blank. And I say, yeah, I know, I'm a human being also. But never forget, you are more of a person than you realize. You have more on your plate. You have something to do. You have a mission. Never forget that God has sent you into this world. As the Father sent me, so I send you. I don't mean to be a missionary in that sense of going abroad. That can happen and should happen in some degree to some people. But I love it that we are in this world with the understanding that our life is short, that our life is not an accident, that our Father speaks to us and he sends us, and that we have something in our heart and mind that people need. They need it. They need a love. They need a smile. They need care. They need to be understood. Here's a good word. They need a friend. Don't they? What is a friend? Sticks close. Carries our burdens. Takes time, listens to us. And of course, if they respond to Christ, then we are brothers. And the Spirit of God between us gives us fellowship and understanding, and we become the body, members of the body of Christ. So, in closing, read Genesis 24 with me. And I want to skip ahead here. He said in verse 12, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Isn't that beautiful? Like, send me, Lord, and show your kindness to do what my master wants done. My master wants people out of this world to be saved. My master sent the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin. My master sent the gospel. My master sent his son to the cross. My master sent you and I into this world, and it's on our heart, it's on our mind. Oh God, do what you want to do in this world. It's beautiful. So Pastor Monty worked in Soviet Union area, had to leave. Pastor Tixier was in the South, and he was led by God to go to Paris, and that would be a challenge, and just to go by faith, but to keep my focus, you know, keep my focus. God, give me the focus. God, show me. I need to do this. I need to do this. I'm going to do this. I want this to happen, Lord. I need this to happen. You got to do this. This is what we pray for in our country now. We want people to turn to Jesus Christ and go to church and get trained and grow up and mature and get established in the faith and be a disciple and train others, because it's the best way to live. It's the answer. We are focused on it. And this is what Abraham is saying in his prayer. Then go to, he meets Rebecca, and it's interesting because he said the same thing what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, give me water. And he says the same thing to the woman, let me pretty drink a little water of your pitcher in verse 17. Drink, my Lord, and she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand. She's the one. She's the one. He's not sure, but it seems it's all coming together. She's the one. But still, he has to talk to her father. He has to kind of settle the business. So it goes, he talks to him, and then we have here in chapter 24, he tells about Abraham in verse 34. I am Abraham's servant. The Lord hath blessed my master greatly. That's how we should talk too. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great. We could say in our parallel message, I can say to somebody who doesn't know the Lord, I can say, the Lord is great. He has become, he has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, and asses. It means my master is a great man. And when you come, if you marry his son, you're going to inherit this. If you come with me, if that's for you, that's for you to decide. But I like this 49, and this is where he gets down to business. He said, now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If you are game, if you are into this, if you will come, tell me. But if not, tell me that too. Verse 49. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Because I'm doing this. There is somebody that's to marry Isaac. There is somebody. If it's you, tell me. If it isn't you, tell me. I like that. You know what I see in this story? Is that the Holy Spirit is with you and I to keep us on point, to keep us in what he has for us, that we are a soul-winning ministry that are looking for people who are lost and to lead them and say like this, our master is great. If you come to Christ, you will be an heir. You will inherit. You'll be forgiven. Your name will go in the book of life. God will be your father, and you need him. With Pastor Mati, I've seen this, where he could go to a country, live and work in the country, and then go to somebody, a real person, you know, a person, like to go to with a name and a family or an apartment and go to that place. And basically, are you coming or not? Are you coming? I believe God is calling you. I don't know if you remember Jacob in Baku. He was like an art guy, and he had it in his heart, you know. And I just saw Pastor Mati do it like an opera singer. I just, you know, a taxi driver, a father, somebody from the mountains. There's like, God has sent us to keep our focus and the joy of it and meeting each other along the way, like we know these brothers who are in the field that are bringing the message and seeing the work. And when we meet each other, we know each other very well. We know each other just like you folks are knowing each other and learning to know each other very well. I trust you. I trust you. I believe. I believe that we have something where we can convince people, persuade people, lead people, that their lives will be changed. It will happen. So 1989, and Pastor Mati came here, he was in Baltimore, and we have been together for years, but he had it in his heart. He said, in the summer, the communism was ending, and we went to Dunkin' Donuts with a group of people, and he said we could go. Let's go. Let's move to Eastern Europe. So we had a, I said, we'll think about it, pray about it. After my second cup of coffee, yeah! Yeah, let's go. So we made a team. He went to Hungary on his way back home to Finland, and he gave us a thumbs up. A team landed there in February 1990. We moved there in 1990. He was there for a couple of years. Then he was led to go to Baku, Azerbaijan, which he had it in his heart many years ago. And then after years there, then he moved on to Uzbekistan. And he did many stories, many things that happened during that period of time. Then moved on to Kazakhstan. Then after Kazakhstan, and planting a church there, well, with Pastor Dima's work, and that work going on, then moving to Turkey for 6 years or so, and then moving to another country in the Middle East. And whatever the story is, now however you want to look at it, it's not like a big program. It's like this story. My master is important to me. My master sent me. And I got to get this thing done. I can't, it's there in the text. I will not eat, you know, I will not eat or drink until I get an answer. Because I am in business about what my master wants. Isn't that beautiful? And so I would like these two brothers just to talk to us from their hearts about something about this story tonight for our service after the offering and the song. So, is that good? Okay. Lord, thank you for this amazing story. In this church fellowship, we love to hear the stories of people whose lives have been changed by your grace. We are not unfaithful men and women. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or a broken foot. But when we find your faithfulness to us, your patience with us, your words to us, your life, we become faithful in loving and believing and church attendance and study, and faithful in caring and thinking and lifting up our eyes. What is God doing in this world? What is God doing? What does my master want? What does my master want? That's a miracle. We enjoy it so much. It's our life. It's our life. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here, really. I think we all are kind of convention hungry, aren't we? Yeah, it's really a privilege to be part of this ministry. It's a great privilege. It's really awesome. It's just really amazing. I wouldn't change that life for anything, any other call. As a missionary pastor, I sometimes feel like I'm like a soldier coming from the jungle and still fighting the Second World War, and then coming to the civilization and looking at everybody saying, oh, like, what's going on? Like, you know, and everybody's saying, like, you know, the war is over. The war is over. And it's business as usual. Everybody's just going on with their lives. And you say in your heart, the war is not over. You just know. Because you know where you're coming from. You know what you have seen. It's not over. Jesus spoke about the weightier matters in Matthew 23. And he was kind of rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes. And he said, you are interested in the mint and the anise and cumin and the tithes. And, you know, but you forget about justice and mercy and faith, the weightier matters. He said, those are also good, but there are weightier matters that you should not neglect. Missions is a weightier matter. Very much so. We were recalling a story from Samarkand on our way here. We had an amazing team there, an international team from Greater Grace. We lived in a suburb area, and some people here are from that area. They can testify that we really were there. And one day I was coming home, and I saw a man by the road sitting in the ditch there and crying, and I went closer and I saw that he was drunk and he was crying and not a very attractive looking creature. And then I saw that he was holding his leg, and the leg was really swollen and it had worms coming out of it. And he was like at the end of his life. So I started talking to him, and his name was Valodya, and understood that he cannot go anywhere. I had to take him with me. So I took him with me, and Umid, my assistant, helped me to take him to the hospital. They got his leg off. Then we took him to my house. He stayed in my house, and we had a farm in Samarkand, so there was a house in the farm, so we built a little room for him there, and we ministered and served him and loved him. But he was he had a very horrible personality. I mean, everything was like in a fairy tale, except this part, you know. He was cursing. He was unthankful. He was very picky. He was picky about what he would eat and how it was prepared. And I just wanted to throw him back to that ditch. You know, I would just get back there. I mean, what do you think we are here for, people like you? But there was a weightier matter, and it was the salvation of his soul. That's what mattered, really. And we loved him and continued caring for him. And then he died. And we had a big team, so we organized his funeral. And we walked through the village to the cemetery carrying his coffin. And the village, they spoke like this. They said, this man was alone all of his life. But the whole world, God sent the whole world to see him off. And he had beautiful dignity in his death. Because it's a weightier matter, one soul. You know, I thought about two stories. The prodigal son story and the way how Jesus spoke about a shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after one. And how if I'm among the 99, I really have to guard my heart. Because why is the shepherd so involved with that one? Can't he see that we are here, 99? And he should be more occupied with us, but there he is. But this is the way how God is operating in the world today. We cannot let that older brother's attitude into our hearts and say, I've been faithfully serving and he's been ruining his life and other lives also and coming home and you treat him like a king. And then the father said that he was lost. That's the weightier matter. Don't you see he was lost? That's the weightier matter. And Jesus, I mean, he was a child. And they were in Jerusalem for the celebration with his parents. And then they are traveling back home. And the parents assumed that everything is normal as it is supposed to be. And Jesus is with the crowd and somewhere there traveling with everyone else. And then all of a sudden they see that they cannot find him. You remember from Luke 2, that story. And then they go and look for him everywhere. And then they found him in the temple. And then they are kind of ready to rebuke him. And they say, child, don't you know that we were worried? And then Jesus says those famous words in verse 49 that, didn't you know that I have to be about my father's business? And then the next verse says that they didn't understand that statement. And I think anyone who's been involved with mission work experiences that. How do you explain to your relatives that you have become a missionary? But praise God that we have opportunities to go after these weightier matters and not to be distracted from our call. Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here with you. I have a couple of more days. It's a real privilege and a real honor and privilege to be with Pastor Schaller. Thank you.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Good evening, all.
Je suis toujours content de revoir Pasteur Marc. Je le revois sur l'estrade. Là, on ne s'est pas vu encore aujourd'hui.
I'm always happy to see Pastor Mark. Here we are seeing each other on the stage. We haven't seen each other yet.
On se connaît depuis 1987.
We've known each other since 1987.
Il venait d'arriver en France et moi je venais de me convertir.
He had come to France then and I had just gotten saved.
Et donc voilà, on avait eu un bout de chemin ensemble.
We've had a good way together.
Et je juste voulais mentionner tout à l'heure, je lui ai dit bonjour, peut-être que vous ne le savez pas, mais au début de ma conversion, je faisais le ministère de bus avec une personne.
Just wanted to just share a little story. A little while ago, there was mention of the early days of my Christianity, and I used to do a bus ministry with a certain person.
Parce qu'on parle de fidélité ce soir.
Because we're speaking about faithfulness tonight.
Et je pense à Cheryl Botiak à l'époque. Elle s'appelle Botiak.
Thinking of Cheryl Bogardus, whose name was Cheryl Bodak at the time.
Et elle était sur l'équipe en France.
She was on our team in France.
Et je me rappelle qu'elle avait fait durant l'année deux ou trois réflexions qui ont eu un impact sur les choix que j'ai eu à faire.
And I remember a few words, thoughts she had spoken that really had an impact in my life regarding choices I would make.
Elle le sait pas. Elle vient de l'apprendre ce soir.
She doesn't know it. She's learning this now tonight.
Mais oui, j'ai été touché par le message de ce soir de Pasteur Schaller.
I was touched by Pastor Schaller's message tonight.
Mais on peut se poser la question, comment être aussi fidèle que ce serviteur?
And we can ask the question, how to be as faithful as that servant?
Le standard est tellement haut.
The standard is so high.
Ce que nous voyons dans ce chapitre, c'est que cet homme avait aussi une relation avec Dieu.
What we see in this chapter is that this man had a relationship with God.
Pas seulement avec Abraham.
Not only with Abraham.
Et quand il s'est retrouvé seul devant la mission qui était la sienne,
and when he found himself alone, faced with the mission that was his,
on voit qu'il sait comment s'adresser à Dieu.
We see that he knew how to address God.
Et dans cette histoire, le serviteur peut être aussi un type du Saint-Esprit.
And in this story, the servant can also be a type of the Holy Spirit.
On a Abraham, le père.
We have Abraham, the father.
Isaac, le fils.
Isaac, the son.
Et le serviteur qui n'a pas de nom.
And the servant who has no name.
Qui est discret.
Who is discreet.
Comme le Saint-Esprit dans notre vie.
Like the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Est envoyé.
He's sent.
Et il a été envoyé sur la terre.
And here he is sent to earth.
Et il a été envoyé en nous.
And he's sent in us.
Et c'est pour ça que il est possible d'être fidèle.
And it is for that reason that it is possible to be faithful.
Parce que nous avons reçu le Saint-Esprit.
Because we have received the Holy Spirit.
Et pour cela, nous avons donc besoin de l'écouter.
And for that reason, we need to listen to him.
Nous voyons que le serviteur s'adresse à Dieu et dit, mais montre-moi quelle est la femme que tu as préparée.
We see that the servant addresses God and says, show me who is this woman to whom you sent me.
Et nous, de la même façon, nous avons besoin d'écouter la voix de l'Esprit pour être fidèles.
And we in the same way must learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit to be faithful.
Parce que comment être fidèles les uns envers les autres alors que nous ne sommes pas parfaits?
Because how can we be faithful one to another while we are not perfect?
Je ne suis pas fidèle.
I'm not faithful.
Vous n'êtes pas toujours fidèle.
You are not always faithful.
Et c'est ça qui des fois amène des déceptions, amertumes et divisions.
And that often causes disappointment, bitterness and division.
Mais lorsqu'on a entendu la voix du Saint-Esprit,
but when we have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit,
nous savons que nous avons aucune excuse.
We know that we have no excuse.
Même si parfois il y a des difficultés.
Even if sometimes there are difficulties.
Parce que ce n'est pas une histoire humaine.
Because it's not a human story.
Et Pasteur Schaller parlait de notre histoire et de toutes ces années que nous avons vécues.
And Pastor Schaller was speaking of our history during all these years, what we have lived through.
Mais moi, je vais vous raconter simplement une anecdote pour nous encourager à cela.
But I'd like to share a little anecdote just to encourage each one of us in this.
Lorsque nous nous sommes convertis, j'habitais dans une ville qui était à 40 kilomètres de l'église.
When I got saved, I lived in a city that was about 40 kilometers from the church.
Et je prenais le train deux fois par semaine pour aller à l'église.
And I took the train twice a week to go to church.
Et cette période m'a aidé à justement écouter la voix de Dieu.
And this period of time helped me to learn to listen to the voice of God.
Alors que je ne connaissais personne dans l'église ou très peu.
And even though I hardly knew anyone in the church.
Au bout d'un an et demi, j'ai déménagé près de l'église, mais au début, j'avais pas une vie de corps.
After a year and a half, I moved closer to the church, but in the beginning, I had no body life.
Mais j'avais Dieu avec moi.
But I had God with me.
Et alors que je ne connaissais rien au monde évangélique.
And even though I knew nothing about the evangelical world.
Même le monde protestant, je connaissais pas.
Even the Protestant world, I didn't know.
Pour moi, les protestants, c'était des gens qui protestaient.
For me, Protestants were people who protested.
Voyez mon niveau de culture biblique.
That was like that was my level of like biblical culture.
Et pourtant, au bout de, je sais pas, 4-5 semaines de conversion.
However, after let's say 4 or 5 weeks of my conversion.
Le Saint-Esprit de façon claire à Montpellier.
The Holy Spirit clearly in Montpellier.
Près des arceaux.
Near it's they're like connais. Arches, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These arches, famous arches in Montpellier.
Le Saint-Esprit m'a dit.
The Holy Spirit said to me.
Est-ce que tu veux me servir à plein temps?
Do you want to serve me full time?
Et moi, je savais pas ce que ça voulait dire.
And I didn't know what that meant.
Et j'ai dit non.
And I said no.
Et ça a été ma deuxième expérience où j'ai attristé le Saint-Esprit.
And that was my second experience where I grieved the Holy Spirit.
Je réalisais que j'avais une relation avec un Dieu vivant.
I realized that I had a relationship with the living God.
Et que Dieu me proposait une vie que je ne connaissais pas.
And that God was offering to me a life that I didn't know.
Et au bout de 3 ou 4 jours, je me rappelle plus, j'ai dit oui.
And after 3 or 4 days, I don't remember exactly, I said yes.
Et une paix est venue.
And there was a peace.
Et lorsque vous recevez ce genre de parole,
and when I received this kind of word,
de rhéma,
this rhéma,
où vous savez que Dieu vous appelle dans telle église,
when you know that God is calling you into a certain kind of church,
lorsqu'il vous montre les dons que vous pouvez avoir au profit du corps de Christ.
When he shows you the gifts that you can have in the body of Christ.
C'est plus facile d'être fidèle les uns envers les autres.
When you see this, it's easier to be faithful one to another.
On peut toujours désobéir.
We can always disobey.
Mais on sait qu'on désobéit à Dieu.
But we know when we disobey God.
Peu importe ce que les hommes et les femmes nous font.
It doesn't matter what men and women do.
Et ce qui fait que le gage de notre fidélité,
so the gauge of our faithfulness to God,
ce sont les arts de l'esprit que nous avons reçus.
It is the,
les arts de l'esprit.
Yeah, it's like,
les prémices de l'esprit. Les...
Yeah, the first fruits of the spirit that we've received.
Et comme disait Pasteur Schaller, ça ne veut pas dire forcément partir en mission.
And as Pastor Schaller was saying a little while ago, it doesn't necessarily mean leaving on mission.
Mais que Dieu nous parle sur la place que nous avons dans le corps de Christ.
But that God would speak to us about the place that we have in the body of Christ.
Que Dieu nous montre les dons que nous pouvons offrir aux autres.
That God would show us the gifts that we can offer to others.
Et vous savez, certaines personnes ont besoin d'être soutenues.
And you know, certain people need to be supported.
C'est pour ça que Jésus dit, si on aide un prophète, on aura la récompense d'un prophète.
That's why Jesus said, if you help a prophet, you will get the prophet's reward.
Dieu est juste.
God is just.
C'est pas ce que nous faisons qui compte.
It's not what we do that counts.
C'est l'objectif que nous voulons atteindre.
It's the goal that we want to aim towards.
Chercher l'épouse.
Seeking the bride.
Et le faire en équipe.
And doing it as a team.
Et c'est l'équipe qui gagne.
And it's the team that wins.
Et chaque personne dans l'équipe.
And each person in the team.
Reçoit de Dieu la part.
Receives from God a portion.
Et vraiment, on peut remercier Dieu pour sa fidélité de nous parler.
And really, we can thank God for His faithfulness to speak to us.
Et je sais que pour envoyer l'ascenseur, comme on dit en français.
And I know that to send the elevator, as we say in France.
Pasteur Schaller, c'est quelqu'un qui écoute l'esprit.
Pastor Schaller is someone who listens to the Spirit.
Nous avons besoin d'être ensemble avec des gens qui entendent la voix de Dieu.
We need to be together with those who hear the voice of God.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
May God bless you.